I'd like to read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16 tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse number 19. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. When I got the news, that news last night, I couldn't help but remember another visit to the same hospital. Maybe not the same intensive care department, but the same area of the hospital that I was asked to go to on, I think it was the first Wednesday of August of 1992. I remember that it was a Wednesday because that is Regatta Day in St. John's. The oldest running regatta in North America is held in St. John's on the first weather permitting Wednesday of the month of August. It's a city holiday. Everybody goes down to Kitty Vitty Lake. It's a great event. Thousands of people are there. But that day I wasn't going down to the regatta. I wasn't going to the shores of Kitty Vitty Lake. I was called to go alongside of another shoreline of a young man who was in just in his mid-30s, who was terminally ill. And I went into that room of a young man called Stan Matcham, and I just couldn't help but sense that I was standing on the very shores of eternity. This man only had days to live. And I thought, how different are those two shorelines? In that hospital room, we didn't talk about sports. We weren't all that concerned about how much money Stan had in the bank. We weren't even all that interested in who was going to win the boat races at the regatta, because we were facing different issues. And if you'd gone that day to Kitty Vitty Lake, you wouldn't have been thinking what Stan was thinking. Because alongside of that shoreline were all the games of chance, all the hot dog stands, all the amusements, the races, people just enjoying a day off. And you know, most of the people, most of the time, live at that shoreline. And they somehow forget that there's another shoreline that all of us are going to face. It's the shoreline of eternity. When we come to Luke chapter 16, we come to one of the most solemn portions of the Word of God that deal with our eternity. I know there are people tonight, and I don't know with what perspective you have come to a meeting like this. I don't know what your attitude is toward life or death or eternity. But there are those who live in view of the fact that nobody can know. There are those who somehow feel, like one man said in Fogo Island a number of years, that life is a paycheck, a six-pack, 6 feet of earth. Just a little bit of money, so much work, so much pleasure, and then it's all over. But in Luke 16, the Lord Jesus Himself, the God of eternity, pulls aside some curtains that no one would misunderstand, that no one would be left in the dark, that no one would come to that shoreline unprepared. And He speaks so simply and yet so solemnly of two men that live just like you're living tonight. Same world, same concerns, same factors, same issues, same prospects. One went to heaven. One went to hell. You know, the same realities are in this meeting tonight. I'm thankful to say that there are some here, and by the grace of God and by His mighty salvation, we're heading for heaven. Wonderful. It wasn't always so. But there came a day when we understood our need, when we understood our hopelessness, when we faced our unpreparedness, and when we found a Savior and He found us. But there are no doubt individuals in this meeting tonight, maybe young people, maybe older people, and the overwhelming possibility is that you will come to the end of the road and face eternity's shoreline and not be prepared. Luke 16 brings before us three very great realities that we all face. You notice that it speaks about life with its inequalities. These men had radically different lives. One verse speaks of the fact of death and its equalities. They were all brought to the same place. They were all brought to the end of the road. And in some ways, there is an equality in death. Luke 16 brings before us eternity with its distinctions. And tonight, that's exactly what we face. We're living in a world with its inequalities. You can go to various parts of this city tonight, and there are the exclusive areas, there are the down-and-outers. There are those that want for nothing. There are those that are barely able to find the next meal, let alone a place to put their head at night. Yes, we have homeless in Vancouver. And as you compare these two individuals, one with a silver spoon, one with dogs literally licking his wounds, must have been an awful sight. Mind you, they didn't live too far apart. But this man in the mansion, up on the hill, if I can describe it in those terms, had everything going for him. He was a man who had wealth, and he's not condemned for his wealth. Could I just pause here and tell you tonight very plainly that the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich? Not at all. Thank God there are millionaires, and maybe likely billionaires, and they have received Christ, and they've been saved by the grace of God. How much money you have or don't have does not determine where you go in eternity. But here's a man, and he was trusting in his wealth. He didn't need God. Here's a man that fared sumptuously every day, was dressed in purple. I would take that he had a measure of power. He was a respected citizen. And sometimes money does that to you. Here's a man that no doubt had great popularity. We read of his funeral. And likely it was a very lavish funeral. We find that here's a man, and no doubt he had all the pleasures that his heart desired. And yet down at the gates of the mansion was a poor beggar who had nothing. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell us of any assets that he did have, materially. There were dogs around him, but there is one thing that we notice about this man with regard to his life with its inequalities. His name is given, Lazarus. God is my helper. God is my strength. God is my Savior. And here's a man, though he had nothing in life, he had the greatest of all treasures. He knew the God of salvation personally. Tonight I'm not interested as to where you rank with regard to life's strata. But what we find in this awesome story is the fact that both of these men came to a common denominator, because you see, death was an equalizer. The Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die. Saved and lost. Believers, unbelievers. That is a common reality that all of us face. Death is in the land. Death is that relentless foe, the last enemy, that just keeps gaining ground on us. And though we try and push it back, and though we try and disregard it, death has a power that is relentless, invincible. Though you might try and get the best medical technique and the best medical personnel that you can get, there comes a point when the best of surgeons and the best of specialists will have to stand there and say, I'm sorry, I have gone as far as I can go. The Bible tells us that both of these men died. And it's been said that every person looks alike in the shroud. When it comes to death, many distinctions are put to one side. And as the soul leaves the body and enters into eternity, we find that here's a man, and for the first time he discovered the distinctions that are a reality in eternity. Do you know what makes Luke 16 such a tragic account concerning this rich man? What makes it so tragic is that this man had so many things going for him, even spiritually. And yet this man missed every voice and every kindness of God along the way. God spoke to the man, and he disregarded. God surrounded this man with blessings, and he never gave God thanks. When I think of the lessons that this man should have learned, I'm made aware that, number one, God's goodness surrounded this man's life. Could I suggest tonight, though I don't know where you're coming from, that God's goodness has surrounded your life? We could have been born somewhere else. We could have been born in a place where we would never have heard the gospel. We could have been born in far different circumstances. And yet the goodness of God that surrounds our lives tonight is designed to lead a person to repentance. God's blessings, so freely given, so much in abundance, are not given for our self-seeking pleasure, seems that we're so consumed with just getting, and just accomplishing, and just achieving, and just surrounding our lives with all that we can get, that we never stop to think that there is a giver to those blessings. I'm afraid that many times, and could I even speak to those of us who are saved, sometimes the gifts seem to be more important than the giver. I wonder, could I ask you very personally, did you give God thanks for your food today? Did you give God thanks for the breath that you have received today? Have you ever thanked God for even the material blessings of health and strength that you have taken so much for granted? Here's a man, and God had been good to him, and he never bothered to give God thanks once. He missed it. We find that God surrounded this man with another blessing. He surrounded him with Christian witness. There was a Christian in his pathway every single day. You know, when I think of God's dealings with me, one of the greatest blessings that I ever received before God saved me was to have an older brother come home and tell me that he had gotten saved. I couldn't understand what he was talking about. I thought he'd gone off the deep end. I thought he'd kind of, you know, lost it. But I came to understand, not just by what I heard, but by what I could see, that he had something that was real. Didn't know what you call it, but it was real. He had peace. And you know, the wonderful thing about this man's life was that God had very strategically placed a Christian right along his pathway. Any Christians in your pathway? Maybe you're working with somebody. It's a Christian. Maybe you rub shoulders with somebody on the bus every single day, and you know they're a Christian. Maybe you're linked to a Christian by birth. Maybe a father, a mother, brother, or sister. And into your life has come the evidence, unmistakable witness, that God's salvation is real and lives have been changed. And here's a man, and every single day he drove out of that gate, he noticed a man, and his name was Lazarus. God is my helper. Christian witness right along the pathway. But this man of Luke 16 didn't need that. The God of the Christian wasn't going to be his God. And he plowed on through life until he hit the great barrier of death. Do you notice that there was another lesson he should have learned? Did you notice who died first? The Christian. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And as that man came down that road, maybe he asked his valet, "Where's Lazarus today?" "Oh, you didn't hear the news. He died last night." And as that man left his estate, death should have been a voice to him. I wonder tonight, friend, has death ever touched your pathway? Have you ever been made aware of the tremendous reality of leaving this life? Most of us live as if we're going to be here forever. And yet, this tremendous reality is all around us. And death should have been a voice to this man, should have stopped him, should have made him aware that I'm heading to eternity. But not him. He wasn't going to die. He had lots of time yet. The Bible says the rich man died also. There was another reality that this man should have learned from. This man knew the claims of the Bible. In fact, Lazarus, or Abraham, turns to this man and he says, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to what the Bible says, if they won't listen to what God says in His Word, they will not be persuaded, And when we come to Luke chapter 16, here is a man who simply said no
to God's word.
No to all that God has surrounded him with. No to every evidence and every witness. And here's a man who, like so many in Vancouver, and I wonder if there's not some among our meeting tonight, there are those who disregard God and their need. And they finally step into eternity unprepared and lost. Luke 16 tells us about eternity with its distinctions. And as I sit down, I want to remind you that there are really only two ways to die in this life. I know you can leave this world in a variety of ways, but there are only two ways to die. Either in Christ, saved, or in your sins. Wonderful to die in Christ, to have the absolute assurance that my sins are forgiven, to leave this veil of tears and step into the wondrous and glad presence of our Lord Jesus, to appreciate, to worship, to sing unto Him forever. And you know that those who have stepped into His presence wouldn't want to come back. It's far better. They're at home. But oh, to die in your sins, with the awful judgment and condemnation that those sins will bring, and to understand that the barrier has been stepped over, that a destiny is fixed, and that there's no hope. What this man forgot about in life, he remembered in eternity. I believe there will likely be those that will remember gospel meetings that they sat in, that they heard the word of God, but they were unmoved. They will remember all that they experienced in life that they took so much for granted. They forgot about eternity. They will remember those days. They will remember that they spurned the grace of God. And they will understand that there's a great gulf fixed. Hopeless horror. Endless night. No exit signs. No second chances. Destinies forever fixed. I wish it would grip me more than it does. I wish it would grip you more than it does. Because you see, all of us are heading to eternity. And friend, if you were to die tonight, where would your soul be? I trust my brother will preach the gospel. I haven't preached the gospel tonight concerning the great work of the Savior. I trust, friend, that you might turn to Him and prepare for the unending ages.